Hey, listeners, a bipolar, a schizophrenic, and a podcast is now the Not Crazy Podcast. Same feed, different name. Hosted by Gabe Howard and Jackie Zimmerman. Search for Not Crazy or visit us at psychcentral.com/notcrazy. In the meantime, enjoy this legacy episode of BSP, and we hope you'll check out the new Not Crazy Podcast.
For reasons that utterly escape everyone involved, you're listening to A Bipolar, A Schizophrenic, and A Podcast. Here are your hosts, Gabe Howard and Michelle Hammer.
It's now time for A Bipolar, A Schizophrenic, and A Podcast with your host, Michelle Hammer, Schizophrenic.
And Gabe Howard, Bipolar.
Today's episode is all about vices.
Vices.
It's about vices as they relate to mental illness. So Michelle's vice of just being mean and cranky, that's not because she's schizophrenic. It's because she's mean and cranky. So we're not talking about
that. Is that a vice? Is mean and cranky even a vice?
I mean, it's very New York.
A vice, though?
I don't know. What's the definition of a vice?
I don't know. Maybe we should have looked that up.
You know, with the magic of editing, people will think that we looked it up right now.
The definition of a vice is a weakness or character or behavior, a bad habit.
Wait, so the definition of a vice is a bad habit and we had to Google that?
Well, there's many different definitions of vices here. Or an immoral or wicked personal characteristic.
Basically, vices are bad habits. Smoking, yeah. Drinking, promiscuous sex, overeating. These are the kind of vices that we're talking about, right?
Synonyms are shortcomings, failing, flaw, fault, defect, weakness, weak point, deficiency, limitation, imperfection, blemish, foible, failability, frailty, infirmity.
And I feel like this show is just you reading the definition of vice from Wikipedia.
Do you know that I know how to Google? And when I Google things, I know how to read. That's right, guys. I know how to read. You might think I don't know how to read.
Nobody would accuse you of being illiterate.
I'm glad, because I am not illiterate, and I know how to read.
I read our show's emails, and they have called you a lot of things. Illiterate is not among them.
No. But I've gotten emails, and they've said, why did you pick that guy, Gabe? He must be very organized or something.
I do remember that email.
That was a good email. That was hilarious.
I was so confused. Like, I'm listening to your show, and I can't decide why you partnered with Gabe, but I suspect maybe it's because he's organized.
Yeah.
Does my organization come through on the show?
Apparently. Somebody thinks that that's the only reason why I picked you.
I wonder why I picked you, because you're not organized.
I picked you?
Who picked who?
Who's who? Who are you?
I don't know.
I picked Peppy.
Remember when we tried to get Peppy to podcast and now he's afraid of the microphone?
Yeah.
Aww.
Oh, poor Peppy.
We got it. We got
to
get.
Okay, like, let's get to the point here.
Set your phone down. Okay, so.
I'm done.
Yeah, don't.
Gabe, you have a vice that I bug you about constantly. Constantly. You do not stop drinking Diet Coke. You can't. Everywhere we go, of course we go where there's free refills, you drink at least 7 Diet Cokes. Am I exaggerating?
You're not.
Exactly.
I'm glad that we started with this one because so many people think that vices have to be like something big. Alcoholism or smoking or drug use as vices. But the reality is almost anything done to extreme can become a vice. To put in a little perspective for those playing at home, I drink the equivalent of about 50 cans of Diet Coke a day. So I'm running through 2 24-packs packs a day.
Do you believe Diet Coke is actually healthier than regular Coke? Because it's not.
You know, the data is wildly out on that. You know, that's an awful lot of sweet and low I'm ingesting. But to say that drinking 50 cans of regular Coke, all of that sugar, not to mention the thousands of calories that would be, that sounds healthier to you?
It doesn't sound healthier, but I do know that soda is bad for you. And I saw a commercial recently where they held up a pack of cigarettes and they held up a bottle of Coke and they said, cigarettes are just as bad as Coke and they both cause heart disease.
Come on, you saw an ad, you know, where's the research, where's the backing? But you don't need to convince me that drinking this much Diet Coke is bad.
Because it's something you use to cope.
It is. That's where I want people to focus. Because somebody would say, the dude drinks Diet Coke, who cares? That's a readily available commercial product. That can't be a vice. But aha. It can be if it's done to extremes. All things in moderation, of course, but also, I'm not moderate.
Also, you used to weigh 550 pounds. Wouldn't you consider all the food you used to eat quite a vice?
Yes, even still to this day, now that I'm at a reasonable, normal, mostly healthy weight.
Through surgery, though.
Yes, but people say through surgery. Like, I went in 550 pounds and I got a magic surgery and then I came out. You know, the surgery was a tool that helped. That's like saying that the only reason that you're living well with schizophrenia is because of the medication. That you did no work on your own. That the magic pill just saved
you. But I don't see you exercise ever.
Well, no, but 10 years later, I still have the weight off. The average success rate of a gastric bypass in 10 years is not high.
Oh, really?
That's one of the reasons why it kind of fell out of favor. People would lose the weight initially, but then they'd gain most of it back within a decade.
Oh,
I still have my weight off.
That I did not know. That's very interesting.
And while you may not see me exercise, have you ever seen me? Now, be honest. Have you ever seen me eat an entire sheet cake?
Good point. But have you done that in the past?
Before gastric bypass, I ate an entire sheet cake routinely.
Wow.
I used to buy icing in a can and just eat it out of the can. You know,
I have friends who've done that, but they wouldn't eat the entire thing of icing. You would eat it on all in one sitting.
Well, not only would I eat it all in one sitting, this wasn't like a rogue thing. This wasn't like, girlfriend broke up with me, I'm going to eat icing today. No, I would go shopping at the grocery store and I'd buy 10 cans.
Oh,
and that would be my icing quota for the week. It's not about drinking the Diet Coke. It's not even about eating the cake or the icing. You really have to put like a hard look at it. Are you turning something innocuous into a pain point? For example, the amount of Diet Coke that I drink has become a vice. It's not about the thing that you're doing. It's about the amount of time and energy you spend doing it. And if I can't have it, I have withdrawal symptoms.
Really?
I freak out. You've been with me. How many times am I like, I got to get a Diet Coke? And you're like, look, let's just do half an hour more work. And then we'll be fine. I'm like, I can't. I got to go now.
I never really realized that. I guess I just didn't notice the need for the Diet Coke. I thought you were just thirsty, I guess. Could be like the dry mouth, right?
And that's how it started. That's really the biggest connection to mental illness that I have. I didn't always drink this much soda. I didn't drink this much anything. But my mouth is constantly dry.
Why not water?
That's clearly why it's a vice, because a better option is available. I could drink more water.
Okay.
And I don't.
I was just curious of, you know, if you're dry mouth, you're choosing Diet Coke over water. That's your preference. That's what you use, your coping mechanism of some sort. Do your thing. I think whatever you really need to do to help yourself cope with your illness, and if it makes you feel better, I think that's okay. I know that Diet Coke isn't really the healthiest thing for you, but you could be doing much worse things.
And
you're not smoking crack.
That really is the thing that I think about. I know that I drink too much Diet Coke. But you know, before the Diet Coke, it was drugs, alcohol, women, staying out all night. Longtime listeners of the show, they're like, Gabe's life wasn't so great. Now Gabe's life is pretty good, but he drinks too much Diet Coke. That might be a worthwhile trade. So a vice is not inherently bad. People do have to make choices. And you know, that's really tough. People are like, no, a vice is inherently bad. It's a bad habit. But sometimes it really is the lesser of two evils. It makes me happy and it keeps me focused. It gives me something to look forward to. I like the ritual surrounding getting the drink. I like putting my shoes on. I like going out in public. I like people watching. I like all of it. I like knowing that in a couple of hours, I'm going to go have something to do. And I'm describing almost to a T the life of a smoker.
You really, really are, because there's so much around a smoker. It's more about taking a break from work, going outside, bonding with the other smokers, coming back inside, knowing that in a few hours you got to take another break. Otherwise, you're just stuck at your desk all day long. People will go outside in 30-degree weather to smoke a cigarette when people don't want to go outside in 30-degree weather. But they do it because that's what they're used to. That's what they take a break. That's their thing. That's what they do. It just keeps you occupied, keeps you busy, lets you people watch, helps you make friends, things like that.
You're an ex-smoker, Michelle.
Yes, I am.
Let's divide this conversation up real quick. First, let's talk about your days as a smoker. And you described all of the rituals around it. But what I want to specifically talk about is, why did you start?
I had some bad influences.
Was it Blanche? Please tell me it was Blanche.
It was not Blanche.
Did Blanche make you smoke?
No. It was just like I was struggling with schizophrenia. and I was struggling with relaxing. I had a lot of anxiety. I wasn't fully medicated as of yet, and I didn't quite have my schizophrenia diagnosis. So I started smoking. I wasn't loving it. I kind of stopped smoking, and then I lost my first job, and I was like, I'm going to go get a pack of cigarettes, and then it just never ended.
It did end, though.
Well, it ended, and then I started the vape pen, and you hate the vape pen, and everybody hates that I'm always on the vape pen. It's always in my hand, but that's just how it is. And when I was looking up some information about, like, schizophrenia and smoking, I found this, like, very interesting study that nearly 90% of people with schizophrenia smoke, and most of them being heavy smokers. Interestingly enough, it said 60 to 70% of people with bipolar disorder also smoke. You don't smoke, but you do the Diet Coke.
I never smoked because the anti-smoking message in the 80s was so good. It was so good. My parents talked to me about smoking. I never saw anybody smoke. And anytime my parents saw somebody smoke, they would like, oh, that's disgusting. Like, good people don't do that.
My parents did the same thing to me.
But it's fascinating for me because that message took so much in me that I did heroin. I did cocaine. I did every drug that was handed to me. But one time somebody offered me a cigarette and I said, what the fuck? Are you crazy?
That's hilarious.
And I'm pretty sure then I shot heroin. It was sincerely. Looking back on it, I don't know what the cognitive dissonance was that smoking bad, drugs good. But that's what I believed.
But a lot of people do believe that. They think drugs are okay, but cigarettes are bad.
Right, because we've got a whole drugs are natural. You realize that cigarettes are tobacco, right? They're natural too.
They're full of chemicals.
Of course they are.
There's like formaldehyde in cigarettes.
Yeah, you don't think that drugs are cut? You honestly believe that your local area drug dealer has purity standards?
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
They're doing all of this like above board and making sure that it's organic. Are you kidding? If they can make an extra nickel, they would make us drink their cat's piss.
Hang on 1 second. We're going to take a break.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. Secure, convenient, and affordable online counseling. All counselors are licensed, accredited professionals. Anything you share is confidential. Schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist whenever you feel it's needed. A month of online therapy often costs less than a single traditional face-to-face session. Go to BetterHelp.com/PsychCentral and experience 7 days of free therapy to see if online counseling is right for you. BetterHelp.com/PsychCentral.
Want us to answer your questions on the show? Head over to psychcentral.com/BSPquestions and fill out the form.
And we're back talking about vices. But the thing is, 90% of people with schizophrenia smoke. That is incredibly interesting.
It really is. And it tells you the way that these things impact our bodies. Because clearly the reason that so many people with schizophrenia smoke is because they're getting something out of it. It's relieving something. It's helping them in some way. It might not be the best thing for them to do. It might not be a good idea, but clearly they're getting something positive out of it, right?
It's a coping mechanism.
Exactly.
It's a coping mechanism.
And nobody's saying that it's a good coping mechanism.
It's not a good, no.
But it might be all you have at the time.
I used to be a cutter. Would you rather me be a cutter and use that as my vice, or can I smoke my vape pen?
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying weigh the options.
Of course, with those two options, that's a no-brainer.
I know. What really bothers me is that I was smoking cigarettes and then I turned on to the vape pen and I'm thinking, this is healthier. And then people say, oh, the vape pen's not healthy at all. It's worse for you. I'm like, let me have my thing. I stopped smoking. I turned to the vape pen. It's not smoke anymore. I'm trying to be healthier. And people have to go, that's not even healthy for you. Leave me alone. I'm trying, okay? I'm trying. Why do people always have to put in their 2 cents?
Oh, you know what I love the most? I used to weigh 550 pounds. Food was a vice for me. Mm-hmm. In many ways, food is still a vice for me. I still abuse food. I want to be the first to admit it. Mm-hmm. I'm so much better, but I don't want anybody to think that I have a healthy relationship with food. I struggle constantly. But what I always used to love when I weighed 550 pounds is the number of smokers that would tell me I need to lose weight. I'm like, yeah. You got to be kidding me. You're literally sucking smoke into your lungs and you're telling me about health.
Have you ever seen a doctor smoke?
Yes.
Isn't that hilarious?
A vice overcomes our knowledge base. We understand that a lot of this stuff is bad. There is nobody in the world eating a Big Mac that thinks it's a health food, but we love Big Macs.
Yeah.
Splurging is okay. It is okay to have cake, but it's not okay to have a sheet cake. And it's not okay to have a sheet cake every day. It's okay to have a Big Mac and fries. No, nobody's saying that you can't. But if you're doing that three times a day, every single day, and many people with mental illness turn food into a vice. A lot of us aren't eating healthy because of depression. When you're depressed, you're not grilling chicken breasts and steaming broccoli.
You're eating
Doritos out of a bag and ordering pizza.
Every single time I lost the job, I went to the grocery store and bought chocolate gelato.
Yeah.
That was my thing. Every single time I lost the job, it's chocolate gelato time. We're eating a pint.
And it became your coping mechanism.
And even one time I came home crying and I'm like, Ben, I lost my job. He goes, you want me to go to the grocery store for you? And I go, yes, please.
But see, the problem there is if you would have lost your job three times in your lifetime, who cares? Nobody would have called it a vice. You lost 9 jobs in a year.
Not in a year, asshole.
Really?
It wasn't in a year. It was from age 22 to 27.
Really? Really? That's deserving of you calling me an asshole?
Shut up.
Yeah.
It wasn't 1 year.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. It was enough that your roommate developed the pattern. I mean, seriously, he like Sherlock Holmes that shit. He's like, oh my God, every time she gets fired, she wants gelato. He figured it out. This isn't like your romantic partner. This is a dude that's stuck sharing space with you in New York City because he doesn't make enough money to have his own place.
Listen, don't make fun of wannabe actors.
Oh, why are you making fun of wannabe actors? Why didn't you just say actor?
Because he never got a principal role?
A principal role now. We're judging the types of roles.
That's what he would say to me, okay? He would say to me that he wants to get principal roles. He was on an episode of Law and Order one time.
He played the corpse, right?
Yes.
Did you buy him gelato?
I'm just saying, he was trying. Do you feel that I have any other vices that you've noticed? Like, I bite my nails, I pick my fingers, I'm like a skin picker. Would you consider that a vice?
Yes, I would.
My nails are disgusting. I cannot stop biting them. I cannot stop picking at my cuticles. I cannot stop picking at my scabs. I can't stop picking at it. I just can't stop. I'm a skin picker. Anything like that, when I pick something, it gives me satisfaction. The people around me look at me disgusted when I start biting my nails or picking my skin. They're like, what are you doing? It's gross. Because only little kids bite their nails and stuff like that. And yet I'm 30 and I do these things.
I really like how you said that it's not good for you, but it gives you satisfaction.
It does.
That might be the best definition of vice that we've come up with. It's not good, but it makes me happy.
Yeah.
Drinking this much Diet Coke is not good, but it makes me happy. Picking your skin is not good, but it makes you happy. Smoking is not good, but it makes you happy. You know, we talk about things existing on a spectrum on this show. Vices are also something that exists on a spectrum. Somebody overeating could be on the lower end of the spectrum if they're a little bit overweight. Maybe they indulge in sweets too much. Or it could be on the higher end of the spectrum, like when I weighed 550 pounds. And you know, Michelle, you and I really illustrate that well. You had gelato when you were fired, but you never weighed 4 times your natural body weight. I think that people don't understand that anything can be a vice. We've got to get this idea out of our head that certain things are inherently bad and other things are inherently good. Things don't have a moral value. For example, knives. Knives are good. We use them to cut meat. That's very valuable. We use them to cut our food like bread and eat them. But you can also use a knife to stab people. So, is a knife good or is a knife bad? Well, it depends on how you use it. It's the same thing for vices. Picking at your nails isn't an inherently bad thing. What if you have a hangnail and you're trying to get it off? I do that too. I wouldn't say that I have a vice, but you go further.
My nails bleed.
Right. So clearly in the realm of vice.
Yes.
What do you do to get rid of these vices?
People yell at me to stop, but I don't.
Everybody with mental illness has people yelling at them all the time. I wish this worked. You know, look at our show. We reach thousands upon thousands of people every month. So if we started yelling at people to stop doing stuff, we could just solve this whole problem.
Yeah.
So clearly yelling does not do shit.
Nobody write in and tell me to use that bad taste stuff because I've used the bad taste stuff and you know what happens? I just get the bad taste stuff in my mouth as I'm biting my nails.
You realize there's somebody out there halfway through that email that's like, click. Click.
And then you just get used to the bad taste and you start liking the bad taste. I've done it. It's happened. I've tried it. It doesn't work for me. Maybe I need some hypnosis or something.
No.
What about hypnosis?
No.
It doesn't work?
Hypnosis is just straight up fraud.
Why are you saying hypnosis is fraud? Now we're going to get letters, Gabe.
I'm okay with that.
Can somebody please hypnotize Gabe to not be a ginger anymore?
How would that even work?
I'm just saying.
Let's say that hypnotism was even real. How would it change my hair color?
I'm just making things up, Gabe.
Literally. There's an example of something that could also be a vice. That's chronic lying.
Chronic lying, exaggeration. Yes.
People with mental illness, they can get pegged with things and maybe fall into roles that they don't realize. Maybe the reason that you're lying or exaggerating was because of a defense mechanism before you were treated. Or when you were younger, maybe you had to make stuff up to get your parents to pay attention to you. But now you're a 30-year-old adult and you're still one-upping or making stuff up, etc. This would be a vice to bring up in therapy. Vices tend to exist for a reason. And maybe the reason that the vice started was pure. There is no doubt in my mind that the reason that I started overeating was to comfort myself.
Yeah.
Food is readily available, and it was comforting.
And you know, it's really interesting. My psychiatrist allows me to smoke the vape pen in his office, and he said it's great because people used to smoke in their therapy sessions all the time.
So, I do think that vaping is much healthier for you than smoking cigarettes. The research so far is confirming that. It also doesn't smell as bad. Because cigarette smoke just smells awful.
Yes. What I find interesting is that when I used to walk by people smoking and smell the secondhand smoke, I used to go, oh, I want a cigarette so badly. But now when I walk by and I smell secondhand smoke, I'm like, oh, that's disgusting.
But it took you a while to get there, right? Rome wasn't built in a day. You didn't decide on Monday you're going to stop smoking, and Tuesday the problem was licked.
Right. It was more just people around me kind of like, don't smoke. It's gross. And then every time I saw my family, I'd have to sneak off, but then I would smell like smoke. And then every time my mom would hug me, she would sniff me ridiculously. Sniff me. Blanche died of lung cancer, and she was never a smoker. Her husband was, my grandfather.
So you feel the secondhand smoke really contributed. And that's something that vape doesn't have. Vape doesn't have a secondhand smoke.
Yeah,
risk.
And my other grandmother had emphysema. You know, my mom was like, remember your grandmother? She couldn't walk 100 yards. And I'm like, really, that wasn't the biggest problem she had.
Even though, you know, I can tell that you're irritated with your mother for trying to make you a better person, the horror. But your mother's reasoning is because of people that she loved were in harm's way.
Right. No.
You realize that she keeps bringing it up. I don't want to happen to you what happened to other members of the family.
But I hated that I was smoking, but I couldn't stop. I hated that I was doing it, but it was my vice. I hated it. I wanted to stop, but it was too hard.
But how did you? How did you finally
I got on the vape pen. I just transitioned to the vape pen.
Because the research shows that the best way to defeat a habit is to replace the time with another one. Just quitting cold turkey and just having that free time, you're just going to ruminate on what you used to be doing.
It's true. And people, they just don't like smokers. Unless you're friends with smokers, they like look down on you so badly.
It's not just smoking. People look down on vices that they don't understand. And as somebody who lives with bipolar disorder, I know that many of the people in our community have developed various vices, smoking being a big one. 90%, 60%. 90% schizophrenic smoke rate, 60 to 70% bipolar smoke rate. We've developed this as a coping mechanism to try to get help. So it makes it hard to look down on people who smoke when I know that their vice comes out of a place of trying to save themselves. Nevertheless, I don't want people in our community to all die of lung cancer at 50. And I don't want you to die, which is awkward because you're just a pain.
Oh, shut up. You're a pain.
Aww. You think I'm going to die of like Diet Coke poisoning?
Everyone's going to die. Eventually.
We really should address our vices. I mean, you agree with that, right?
Yes.
We want to have the best quality of life that we can. We don't want to annoy the people that we care about. Even you, Michelle, who is the most curmudgeonly cranky person I know, you want the people around you to be happy, and you want to be happy.
I am not curmudgeonly cranky, but I do want everyone to be happy.
That's something that a curmudgeonly cranky person would say.
I don't think I'm curmudgeonly cranky. I'm a New Yorker.
And what is the definition of the behavior of a New Yorker?
Oh, that we're always angry?
Yes!
Because tourists don't get out of the goddamn way.
I love how it's our fault.
You stay to the right. Stay to the right. Do not walk in a line on the sidewalk. I'm rolling my bag down the street, and then these people are blocking the dip, so I couldn't get my suitcase on the dip, and I just say, hi, guys. Can I use that? Use what? The sidewalk, please? Oh, we'll move. Don't take up the sidewalk. I'm going to be an asshole if you're taking up the sidewalk. The sidewalk is for walking, not side stand, side walk.
None of that sounds like a curmudgeonly cranky person, ladies and gentlemen. That is a very reasonable thing to say. She's not even in New York right now, and she's pissed at it people aren't here. That is very emotionally healthy. My name is Gabe Howard. With me, as always, is Michelle Hammer, and we will see you next week on A Bipolar, A Schizophrenic, and A Podcast.
Move, tourist. Get the fuck out of my way.
You've been listening to A Bipolar, A Schizophrenic, and A Podcast. If you love this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Head over to iTunes or your preferred podcast app to subscribe, rate, and review. To work with Gabe, go to GabeHoward.com. To work with Michelle, go to Schizophrenic.nyc. For free mental health resources and online support groups, head over to PsychCentral.com. The show's official website is PsychCentral.com/BSP. You can email us at show@PsychCentral.com. Thank you for listening, and share widely.
Miami Vice.
Vice presidents.
A vice that you put the wood in to saw it. You know, a wood vice.
Viceroy, like in Star Wars.
Vice Channel. Vice News.
Ooh. Vices, like prostitution and things that police officers get paid to do even though they love it and it's fun and they're just harassing the general public.
Yeah.
I think I won because I came up with more things that started with vice.
Vice. VP.
I said that already.
I don't know.